This is an interview with Ms. Herminia Contreras on March 18, 2003 in El Paso, Texas. The interviewer is Fernanda Carrillo. This interview is part of the Bracero Oral History Project. Good morning, Ms. Contreras.
Good morning.
What is your full name, please?
Herminia Reza Contreras.
And when and where were you born, ma'am?
I was born in Arizona, Douglas.
On what date, I'm sorry?
May 5th, 1920.
And where did you grow up, in Arizona or here in El Paso?
Both.
Both?
The first, I guess about 13 years of my life, I was in Arizona. And then we moved to El Paso.
Because of your dad's work, or?
Yeah, he worked for the railroad.
Oh, he worked for the railroad. And what did your mom did for?
She stayed home. She was a housekeeper.
Oh, great.
A homekeeper, whatever.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
There was 8 of us.
8. And the 8 of you came to El Paso? All
yes, we were children. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. And so did you attend school here in El Paso?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go to?
Well, I went to grade school here at San Jacinto. I understand they demolished that school. I'm not sure. Well, I went to grade school there.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Bowie.
Oh.
And to College of Mines.
Oh, you went to the College of Mines.
For a while. Of course, I ended college, but took up college again many years later in New Mexico.
How many years did you attend the College of Mines?
Well, I have credit for a 2-year college.
For 2 years. And when did you start working for the Department of Labor?
When I first started with the Bracero program, it was immigration had it. I came to work with immigration with a portion that they had with the Bracero program.
Okay.
Then in 1950, that was 1951. Mm-hmm. In 1953, I started with the Department of Labor. And I stayed with it until it closed.
Which was what date, ma'am?
What was it? It's 63, was it?
Perfect. And how did you found this job? How did you know about it? Did you apply for
it? The Department of Labor?
Mm-hmm.
When I was with immigration, my boss recommended me to move over to immigration, to Department of Labor, because I had better promotional potential opportunities there.
So you worked with them for about 13 years?
I guess about that.
Do you speak Spanish, ma'am?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Were you required to speak Spanish for that job?
No.
No?
It helped.
It helped a lot?
Because of the people. I didn't have any... Well, when I was with immigration, it helped. It was almost a requirement because I did have contact with the Braceros. But later on, I was in an administrative office, so it didn't make it. But it still were helped.
Would you please describe your role in the Bracero program, ma'am?
Well, the last few years I was in the main office, in administrative office. I had control of the contracts, of the money that was deposited for the contracts. It's like they couldn't contract. They couldn't take out any men unless they paid for the contract.
Also, they had to pay first in order to take the Braceros.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Where were those main offices located?
At the main office right there, and in where you went to Rio Vista, right across from the county headquarters that they have there. It's an old home. It's a lovely home. But we made it up into offices.
And the whole time while the Rio Vista Center was open, those were the main offices?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. What was your job assignment? What did you do exactly there at the Department of Labor at the main offices?
That was it. I mean, I wasn't responsible for that, to see that the contractors, the potential employers, had the proper, you'd say, permission, authority, permits from their, wherever they came from, wherever the men were going to go to. And they had state permits in writing for so many workers for such a period of time. And I had a control of that. Plus, I had to control the money facet of it. I didn't have the money, per se.
Okay.
I just saw that they did have the money on record.
Okay, perfect. But you never actually had the money in front
of... I accepted the check and passed it on.
Okay.
But that's all.
And mainly the contractors were from what regions, ma'am? From what cities?
Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado, Wyoming.
And mostly they hired braceros to do what kind of...
Agriculture.
Agriculture?
In all facets.
Okay.
And there was fruit contract. You know, some of them had fruit. Around here, it was mostly cotton, chili, that type of agriculture.
Okay. And the contracts were usually how long for the...
Well, they varied depending on where they went to. Because some types of work that they went to do wouldn't last more than 3 months. So it was controlled by that, and others, they just kept extending them till they almost worked year-long.
When they extended a contract, the bracero had to come back to the Rio Vista Center?
No.
No?
No.
It wasn't necessary?
No, it was extended out in the field.
Okay. And when the bracero finished his contract, did he have to go back to Rio Vista on his way back to Mexico?
He could, but it wasn't necessary.
Oh, it wasn't necessary. Okay. And did your offices operate year-round?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Year-long.
And usually when were the busiest times?
And spring and all summer, well, actually through the fall.
Through the fall.
I think they would only let up a little bit in the... couple of months in the winter, and then we still had a lot of work there, you know. We're not contracting workers, but there was a lot of office work.
Okay. And did the Rio Vista Center was also operating all year round, as well as your offices?
That was my office. That was my whole project.
Your whole project, the whole Rio Vista?
Yeah.
Okay. How many applicants were there on a given day? Usually, how many braceros were arriving to the Rio Vista Center?
You want max?
Yes.
Let's see. I can hear about 3,000.
3,000 in a day?
But they were moving out.
Oh, okay.
See, we didn't have the facility to house them.
Okay.
Now, house that many, anyway. So they would start arriving early. And it was a continuous thing. They come up here from Chihuahua.
Okay.
And they, as soon as they'd get here, we tried to process them and get them out of there.
Okay. How many people were you able to house at the Rio Vista Center?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But it wasn't
for 3,000 for
no,
sure.
No. Uh-uh. That's what I mean. I'm giving you a round figure there.
Okay.
That was the round figure that would arrive in one day. But now, Carlos Corella, where he worked in transportation, he would have been able to answer that a little bit closer.
Okay. Would you describe the screening process for me once the braceros get there from Chihuahua? How did they get to the Rio Vista Center?
Well, we had a recruiting center in Chihuahua. They recruited the braceros there. We had people, Department of Labor people in Chihuahua. We would keep in touch with them. We placed our order for the workers with them. And then they would tell us if there was a shortage of workers applying. Well, they would tell us, you know, we won't be able to have them. But usually they did very well. But we'd place an order. They control the number of workers. And they would put them in buses in Chihuahua, and they'd come up here in that fashion.
So you usually tell them how many people you need.
That's right.
Once you have the contracts and the...
Once they were cleared. Everything was cleared, and we had guarantee for, say, 1,000 workers. Everything was cleared and everything was taken care of. And the employers or contractors would be there. And they could select their workers.
Oh, they had a chance to do that?
They had to. Because we weren't going to select the workers for them.
Okay. So once the braceros arrived from the recruiting center from Chihuahua in buses, what was the... you know, the process they had to follow in order to...
They came in, and when they arrived at the center, they were processed first through public health service. They were checked to see that they were well, they needed any shots, whatever it is that they needed. Some of them were ill when they got here, so they, public health service, there was a doctor on hand at all times. The doctor is still here.
Oh.
Dr. Ortega.
Doctor, what's his first name, Ev?
What is his first name? He is a cutie pie. Well, it's Ortega, and he has the Ortega Clinic in Isleta.
Clinic in Isleta. So he's still working. We might be able to contact him. You think?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, perfect. Great. So he was the one that worked there at the public health.
He was in charge of the public health serve.
For a long time, ma'am? Was he in charge?
For quite some time, yeah. I don't remember exactly how long, but he was the last doctor that was
the
there.
The last one. Okay. And were the braceros required to bathe or shave?
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, they weren't required to shave, but they could if they wanted to.
Oh, they could if they wanted.
But they were required to bathe, and there were showers.
And was any disinfecting performed for the braceros at the...
I don't know. I wasn't there. But that's public health portion. But they were given the medication and shots and everything that they needed.
Okay. And at this part of the process, could any of the braceros be rejected for health reasons?
Yeah.
Let's say they have an illness or something. Okay. So this was the first step.
They were returned to Chihuahua.
They were returned to Chihuahua. At the Rio Vista Center expense, I mean, they return on the buses of the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were the braceros allowed to keep their personal belongings while they were...
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes their personal belongings were disinfected.
Oh, sometimes they're okay.
Because they were, some of them had little bugs in them.
Okay. Okay. So they checked the luggage and everything?
Yeah, you had to check everything. You didn't want to go send a sick person or a one with bugs and all that out inside. And if the person had bugs or things, something like that, they were given the proper treatment.
And after the public health division, what was the next step for them?
Then the public health service, after they cleared that, well, of course, there was meals in between, you know, whenever the meal time was necessary.
Okay.
There was breakfast and lunch, and we didn't have dinner, but if there was the braceros there in the evening, they had already packed lunches for them. You know?
Oh, okay. Okay. Those were provided by them.
Yes, but after the after public health, they then contracting would be the next entity that would take charge.
Okay.
They would see to it. They were placed in the... They would go through immigration also. Let's see. Immigration and contracting would kind of work together, because I used to help immigration in screening some of the braceros. And fingerprinting them when I was working with immigration.
Oh, okay.
But after when I went to the Department of Labor, I didn't. But they would do that together with contracting, and then they would place the braceros say that El Paso Valley Cotton Association had an order for 500 workers. They would call. They would already have the representative there.
There, waiting for the braceros to arrive.
And then they would place them, group them in one area, and says, "All right, you pick your 500 workers."
And did do you remember a time when some of the employers placed an order for, let's say, a given number, and they didn't, appear that day, and you have to house the braceros for little while?
Mm-hmm.
Was it common for you to keep braceros for more than one day?
I wouldn't say that it was common, but it happened.
It happened. And well, they went to the immigration contracting, they fingerprinted them, they filled out a kind of information. And after that, what happened?
Yeah, they filled out the contract. Then when they, by that time, they already knew who they were being contracted to. And from there, they would line them up and go to transportation. That would be their last exit.
What were the normal requirements to be a bracero? What did they...
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that Chihuahua... That was their thing.
And at the time they arrived here, did they have to show some kind of IDs or proof of identity, like birth certificates or...
Well, immigration could ask them anything they wanted to, or any official with the Department of Labor could, but I don't know that it was a requirement of each and every one of them.
Would you describe your typical work day at the Rio Vista Center? What were your normal hours?
It was an 8-to-5 job.
An 8-to-5. All week? You have to be there all week?
Monday through Friday.
Was the Rio Vista Center open during the weekends?
Well, at the peak of contracting season, yeah.
Is there any particular incident with the braceros that stands out in your mind?
No, I don't think so. It was all rather a very pleasant job, both by the contractors and the braceros. It was a pleasant job. I don't know of any one incident. One bracero brought... He went to Mexico, and he brought me back a shawl, and I still have it.
Oh, you still have it? Oh, that was great. So he did return through the Rio Vista
Center. They would go home for vacations.
And so they have to go back to their Rio Vista Center and did the whole process again in order to go back to the United States?
No. If they... He just happened to stop by and bring me that. But if they go to, it was on their own. They would go home. Then whatever transportation they decided to come back, they would go directly to their employer.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. Sometimes they would stop here and call their employers by phone, and then the employer would come in and pick them up.
Okay, perfect. But going back to Mexico was at their own expense and with their own means. And how would you describe the braceros in general? Were they young or old person? Were they open?
Were they what, open?
Uh-huh, like very talkative or...
Let's face it, some of them were, but most of them lacked schooling. So some of them didn't even know how to read or write.
Okay.
But, like I said before, all in all, they were very nice people.
Were they...
I never did get out to be sociable with them. Yet there was no time.
And did the employees of the Rio Vista in general, did they... socialize with the braceros at point?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Became very, some of them almost members of their family, really.
Mm-hmm. And what about during lunchtime? Where did you eat? Right there at the Rio Vista Center, or did you go
somewhere? We go to Isleta to eat.
To Isleta? Okay.
Or take lunches.
Or take lunches. Would you describe the buildings, the Rio Vista Center? How was it distributed in general, please?
Distribution as far as function?
Yes, ma'am, please. Like, what were the buildings? What was going on at each building, mainly?
You said you went through that Rio Vista Center.
Yes,
you did.
Uh-huh.
Did you see where public health service is? Was
it to your right once you enter the center?
Extreme right.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's your first building.
Okay.
Then you keep on going, and then there's a long building at the end.
Yes.
Okay. That would be immigration, and they would still kind of screen them through there, and contracting.
Okay.
They'd keep on coming, and the very next building to your left,
yes,
is contracting. That's contracting and immigration. You keep on coming, and then you would find two buildings of clerk typists,
okay,
writing up all the contracts. And then the very last building to your extreme left is transportation.
Which was the last step for the braceros, right?
Right. That was when they would be boarding buses to go to their respective places they were going to work.
And from what I understand, where is the meal center where they eat?
The what?
The meal where they, meals were given.
Okay, in between the first building that was public health service and transportation, which is over here, there's a building, long building right here in the center. That was the kitchen.
That was the kitchen. And there were some buildings in the middle of the Rio Vista Center? Right between the two main...
Well, there might have been, you know, there's for other purposes.
Okay.
I really didn't get out there to check out everything.
Was it a very crowded place most of the time?
During all the contracting season, yeah, very busy.
Where did you live? Where do you work at this, at the Rio Vista Center?
Here
in El Paso, in your own house, right?
With what?
In your own house.
In this one, right?
In
here.
This house here. What effect do you think the Bracero program have on illegal crossings?
That was the most wonderful thing that ever happened. You didn't have a lot of the problems that exist now, because the workers, that the men, the people that wanted to come over, could be processed through legal action, and they would come in, they would work, and then they'd go home. They already earned their money, and they'd go home, and they had enough to, at least for a while, support their families. Then the following season, they would come back again, and the same, almost the same braceros would come, and then some of the younger ones would follow. And that was the greatest thing that happened to the agricultural end at this side and the home life in Mexico, because people had jobs.
Do you remember by any chance how much did they
No, I don't know how
paid?
Much they made. No.
No.
Well, I don't remember, no. There was a minimum set up by the state.
Okay. Which was...
I don't remember.
But there was a minimum that they have at least...
Yeah, some of their salaries were controlled, yes. Uh-huh. But they made a lot more.
As part of your job, did you check documentation of workers on, of the ranchers?
Did I check the what?
The documentation. Did the contractors have to bring you some papers, or, you know, information about them when they wanted to hire a certain number of braceros?
Oh, their application?
Uh-huh. Yes.
They would their application would go through through their employment office.
Okay.
The nearest state employment office, so wherever they were located. I would get that in the mail, and that would tell me that Mr. X had already applied and been approved for whatever number of workers they needed for that certain period of time.
Do you think that the braceros caused any problems while they were working at the United States?
Like what?
I don't know, like...
You know, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, but like criminal behaviors, that kind of stuff.
If it happened, it was very...
Right.
You know, I didn't hear about it, so it must not have happened. I mean, if it happened, it wasn't that much.
What do you think are the effects of the bracero program?
What do you mean?
Like, was it positive or negative to have it during that time?
Oh, during the period of
yeah,
time?
Yeah, exactly.
During positive effect on what?
On the life in general, on the countries.
Their life?
On both on their life and our country's life. Was it good to have that program? Did it help us or not at all?
Well, I don't know socially over here. I don't know because we weren't aware of what their social life was. But even in the communities where they went to, it was very positive.
And for them, what will you think? It was good for them to come. It was a good opportunity to be
I
here.
I think it was, but that was just my thinking. I don't have anything in writing on that.
So what is your personal opinion about the Bracero program?
I told you, I thought it was wonderful.
What will you think about the Bracero program being revived during this time? Like, if they apply it again?
I think that would be just really nice. However, the way of life has changed quite a bit since then, and there are so many drugs nowadays that if it turned out to be a way of trafficking drugs, I don't know that it would, but you hear so much about that. It's in the media, in the press, and everything. But I don't know. Do you know anything about what the drug situation is?
Well, you keep hearing what they tell you,
yeah.
You know, on TV and...
Well, that's what I say.
The television is, but you don't really know.
But then sometimes they're exaggerating, but you never know.
But you never know. Could be. And is there anything else that you would like to add about the time you work for the Bracero program? Any general impression that you have or any...
I met some wonderful people during all the time, and I worked with wonderful people. I'll never forget them. But when it closed, I think everybody... Carlos didn't stay. He went with the... What is it? IRS? Is that who you went to? He went to some federal thing.
Okay.
And he moved to Albuquerque, someplace in New Mexico, because I saw him in Albuquerque later. And when we were closing up the place, everybody had already gotten a job, but I hadn't.
Oh, you hadn't?
No. So I had been inquiring about jobs for the young ladies and all, and I didn't even look for one
one.
And I was in the process of going out looking when this man approached me and asked me if I wanted to go to work with the Forest Service. So I said, sure, why not? I don't have a job. So I packed up and went to Albuquerque. And I started a life with the Forest Service.
How long did you work with the Forest Service?
Until I retired in 1980.
So you never worked for the Department of Labor again, neither the immigration offices?
No, no. It's not a good idea to go back.
It's not? And most of the people there, what kind of jobs did they get in? Mostly related with what they did at the Rio Visa or very different?
I don't know.
You never saw them?
I didn't keep in touch with
them. In touch with any of them? Well, I would like to thank you very much for the interview.
You're very welcome.